This morning I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to probably get to it in a little bit, but if you want to look that up and find it, it's Matthew 10, and it will be verses 16 through 34. A lot of verses this week too. The title this week is God's Got This. Pretty much what we've been talking about, isn't it? It's amazing how that works. Now, hopefully, not too many of us have, but just in case our circumstances have caused us to miss the last few weeks. 3 weeks ago, with the Lord as my guide, I started a sermon series devoted to the persecuted church across the globe. And again, Lord willing, the series will conclude on November 2nd, which just happens to be the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. My intent is to share one video each week from the Voice of the Martyrs, which is an organization formed by Pastor Richard Warmbrand to both bring awareness of and help to the persecuted Christians throughout the world. We don't give much thought to Christian persecution here in the United States, do we? Oh, we know it's there and we're aware of it. We know other people in other parts of the world are suffering, and we pray for them. At least I hope we do. We should. We're called to. But we really don't give a whole lot of thought to Christian persecution here. We, as in you and me, as in American Christians, we haven't personally witnessed much Christian persecution, have we? Oh, maybe some of the people we used to hang around with when we got saved, maybe they started excluding us, and maybe they quit hanging around us, or maybe we hung around them and we weren't comfortable anymore, so we stopped. Or maybe some people may have excluded or quit hanging around us when we came to Christ, but nobody's ever threatened to beat us about the head and shoulders because of Christ. Nobody's ever threatened to lock us away in a jail cell because we proclaim Christ as our Savior. At least not yet. Have they? Your experience has been pretty much like mine, huh? Some people we quit hanging around with, but nobody's ever threatened to beat us up. Nobody's ever threatened to lock us up. You know, from the looks of things, that might not be true for our children and our grandchildren. From the looks of things, the things you can see that are coming to our country. I know Ebola, and I know even the playoffs have been taking up a lot of our attention lately. Baseball playoffs. Not so much anymore, huh? But did you see and hear the story coming out of Houston, Texas this last week? Was that not something? That's Houston, Texas, United States of America. The city of Houston issued subpoenas this last week. They've kind of backed off a little bit and changed the wording since then. For a group of area pastors, pastors who had opposed the city's first lesbian mayor's transgender bathroom ordinance. Now, who would even write such a thing? Transgender bathroom ordinance, which states that any transgender person, regardless of their biological sex, can use any restroom that he or she chooses. In other words, a guy dressed like a girl can use the girl's restroom, or a girl dressed like a guy can use the guy's. So the subpoenas the city issued ordered these pastors because they had opposed this. The mayor got it through anyway. But afterwards, the city attorneys issued subpoenas that ordered these pastors to turn over all of their sermon notes dealing with homosexuality, dealing with gender identity, or dealing with the city's mayor. Any sermon notes where they were going to use her name, talk about transgender people, or talk about homosexual people. They had to all be turned over. Plus, the pastor who had headed up the opposition, he was kind of like in charge of the ministerial alliance, kind of much like Byron put me. I just couldn't tell him no, I really couldn't. That pastor was ordered to turn over all of his communications with the members of his church, regarding any of these topics. And if any of the ministers failed to comply, they were warned, they were threatened, really, that if they didn't turn them over, they would be held in contempt of court and could possibly be subject to arrest. Church, the times are changing. They really are. And just because we haven't witnessed Christian persecution of our own doesn't mean that we're not going to. Doesn't mean that our children aren't going to. Doesn't mean that our grandchildren aren't going to. We need to prepare ourselves. I guess the real question is, what can or what are we going to do about it? I've said it a lot of times and I believe it. We'll never overcome sin by pointing sin out. Sin can only be overcome by pointing sinners to Jesus Christ. That's the only way. He's the only answer for our sin. I believe that with all of my heart. But as followers of Christ, or as Christians, or as His body in this world, we are the vessels that He has purposed and are called to live according to the truth found in His Word. Are we not? This is to be our roadmap for life. This is how we are to live, according to His truth. So just as if we were physically leading lost people to safety, which I hope all of us would want to do, we are called to lift up, follow, and live according to God's moral compass, if you will, His Word. Does that make sense? Does everybody agree with that? That is what we are called to do as His people. The greatest evidence of our being His is to love them as He does. That's the greatest evidence of mine being a Christian. I've said it many, many times. I believe that with all my heart too. But I am also called, as are all of us that know Christ and proclaim Him as our Lord, we're all called to stand for the truth. We're all called to stand against the lie. We are. We must. Little word to the wise here. We've been talking about it the last 3 weeks. That's not going to make us very popular. That's going to make us less and less popular. We can see it happening before us right now in all the news headlines. We're becoming less and less and less popular. I know all the surveys say that we are a Christian nation still, that 80% of our people are Christian. But the things that are going on in our country don't say that. We are becoming the minority. We are becoming less and less popular. God's truth is becoming less and less popular. Okay, back to what I was saying about this series. We'll get back to that in a minute, I promise. The first message and video introduced us to Pastor Warmbrand. And in it, we learned something of the 14 years that he spent in a communist prison for doing much of what I just talked about. Proclaiming the truth. Standing for the truth. Standing against the lie. Cost him 14 years of his life. 3 of those years, he was in solitary confinement. We also learned of the book that he authored about the experience, which is titled Tortured for Christ. Some of you guys have read it. I know you have. I've had it sent to your house. I hope you've read it. I know it came to your house. If you want a book, which I really recommend that all of us read it, it's kind of would help prepare us. We can get one of those books for you for free. The Voice of the Martyrs will send you one for free. That's a pretty good deal nowadays. You don't get anything for free, but they will send you one for free. And it's a pretty easy read as far as being short, but it's not easy to read. I will tell you that. I think that first Sunday I told you there were many things in that book that I would not share with you in an open setting like this. Many things in there that will break your heart. They will. And you have to understand they are things that have happened back in the 60s, back in the 1960s. But I would encourage all of us to read Pastor Warmbrand's book. The next message and video introduced us to a young Colombian man named Alex. Alex's story took place on a bus taking workers to the banana fields in Aruba, Colombia. Alex was on that bus as a group of murderers. Last week I shared their title. I don't think that I should have. I don't think they deserve a title. They were murderers. They hijacked the bus. They attempted to kill everyone on board. Unknowingly, it wasn't because they didn't try. They left Alex, though critically wounded, as the lone survivor. He was the only one that survived on the bus. The wonderful conclusion to Alex's story was that after he recovered from his wounds and started ministering in a local prison, he met, he forgave, and he became the vessel God would use to lead the very man who had inflicted his wounds to Jesus. That's a wonderful, wonderful testament to Alex. Then in last week's sermon and video, we returned to visit again with the man who started the Voice of the Martyrs so many years ago. But in this video, Pastor Warren Brand was well advanced in years and from the first time that we met him. And this time he didn't talk so much of his own experiences, but instead he described the experiences of a young woman. And I know it was hard to understand him, but this young woman was willing to endure a beating in order to have the opportunity to witness to the one that was inflicting the beating. That was the gist of the whole video. She was willing to go and take this beating so she would have an opportunity to tell this man about Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful testament too, isn't it? Pastor Warmbrand went on to explain how during the course of the beating by a communist officer, which eventually left her unconscious, how she so lovingly shared the attributes of Christ that when she regained consciousness, this officer asked and even tried to force her to tell him who Jesus was and then to force her to baptize him. Eventually he did force her. He threw her into the little fountain out front and he jumped in behind her and she baptized him. He became a Christian. He gave his life and his heart to the Lord. Pastor Warmbrand said he became, his words were, a very good Christian, and that he freed the young woman, let her go. That's what happens when we let Jesus have control of our life, isn't it? Not all good things, but his will takes place in our life when we surrender ourselves to him. Okay, so now we're caught up. This week's video is about a young Chinese woman. Her name is Sarah. A young Chinese woman who risked everything that she had, her life, writing for an underground Christian newspaper. And just as I warned you about the video with Alex, I would tell you that this video also has some depiction in it. They've depicted what happened to this young woman, and I'd also warn you that some of it is of graphic nature. It's not a lot of fun to look at, but there are some things that aren't fun to look at that we need to look at. That we need to understand. This one is called Sarah's Trail of Blood.
I was in the Bible for what I would go through that night. The Bible says, "Do not fear." I have read this many times. But tonight, I would be very afraid. The soldiers do not ask questions. They do not tell me why or where they are taking me. I am still in my pajamas. I feel humiliated and completely helpless. I have been arrested before. But this is not an arrest. And I'm not being brought to the police station. I quickly realize they have more than questions for me. So alone. All I can hear is my heartbeat. And with every beat, the sound grows louder, and I become more afraid. They have a document for me to sign. It is a confession and a statement against my friends. I refuse to sign and silently pray the night will go by quickly. The guard is angry. His face is full of rage. And I become his victim. I try not to give in, but the pain is overbearing. I repeat Bible verses to myself. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm beaten on my feet and other places on my body. I scream in pain, wondering if anyone will hear me, if anyone can help me. Would signing the document be so wrong? And if it was, wouldn't God forgive me? Is over. My legs are chained and I'm forced to walk. The guards are bored and they pass the night watching me, forcing me to walk back and forth through the night. Alone with my chains, I walk. Time has begun to slow. I begin to wish I have signed the document. I cry out to God to give me strength and wonder how much more I can endure. Hours have passed when I notice the footprints on the floor. They are my footprints, and they have been made from walking in the trail of my own blood. I think of Christ and how he was beaten before walking to Golgotha, how he must have also left a trail of his own blood. He also was hated by this world. In a small way, I now suffer for him. I am not alone. I am with Christ, who walked this path for me. And this gives me the courage to go on.
Pray with me, won't you?
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you give us in this life. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. So many parts of the world, Lord, that their life is so different from ours. Their faith is so different from ours. They have to give so much, Lord, for their faith in you. Forgive us, Father, for the many times that we neglect to lift them up. Or, Lord, for being so focused on our own selves that we forget that not everybody in the world lives like we do. Lord, there's nobody that knows tomorrow but you. But I believe, Lord, that there's a storm on the horizon, that our lives are going to change, that they are changing, Lord, even as we talk this morning. Lord, I pray that you would find within us the faith and that you would give us the strength to stand, Lord, for your truth, to stand against the lie. I pray that you would help us to love the way you love us, that the world might see the reality of your gospel, see the reality of who you are. Let these videos and these messages encourage us, Lord, strengthen us and prepare us for whatever lies ahead. Let them make us mindful, Father, of those that are suffering, the same faith that we share. And let us lift them up to you. Let us do what we can, Lord. Let us put hands and feet, Lord, to our prayers and do what we can. Let us all be united in you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, for the rest of this message, for your blessings upon it, that you would be lifted up in it also. Pray for the reading of your word. I pray for each one of us that are here today, Lord, that your spirit would walk amongst us and search our heart. And wherever we're at, Lord, that we would find ourselves drawn closer to you, that we would grow in our faith, that we would learn to lean on you, Lord Jesus, look to you. As Miss Becky said, Lord, that we would understand that you hold tomorrow in your hand. Let us look at tomorrow, Lord, through our faith. We ask it in your name. Amen. Might we also one day have the courage and faith to say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is my heart's desire for each one of us. Last week I had a much more scripture than I usually read, and this week is much the same. And the Lord give it to me this way. Even though I feel like all the scripture should be included and that the Lord wanted me to include it, as I did last week, I won't speak to every verse that I read, but I do believe that they need to be included. Matthew 10, verses 16 through 34. Jesus said, Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you to the councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father, who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father, who is in heaven. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. The first thing I'd like to speak to is the context under which Jesus spoke these verses. Jesus ended in Matthew 9 saying, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, I pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Very applicable to today, isn't it? And then in chapter 10, he starts by calling his disciples to him and giving them power to cast out unclean spirits, heal all kinds of sickness and disease. Matthew then names the 12 apostles. They were disciples, now they're apostles. And tells us that Jesus sent them out. But he sent them out only to the lost sheep of Israel. That's what's going on here in this chapter of Scripture. You know, I know today that there's some disagreement from Bible scholars about who qualifies for discipleship or apostleship, or who can be a disciple and who is apostle. Who qualifies for that title? I'm not going to spend any time talking about that today. I would like us to consider and understand that even though Jesus is instructing his disciples or his apostles here in the scripture, and even though his instructions are going only to the lost sheep, or telling them only to go to the lost sheep of Israel, I would like us to understand and consider that Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And I also like us to understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So, I hope it's not too much of a stretch for us to understand that Jesus' instructions to his apostles some 2,000 years ago still apply to us, his followers, today. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Matthew 10, verse 16. In just a couple of more verses, Jesus will tell his apostles and us not to worry about what they should do or what they should say, because the Holy Spirit will speak through them, and the Holy Spirit will speak through us. If you came on Wednesday evening, and you should be coming on Wednesday evening, you're missing out and we're missing you, you'd heard Keith speak to that. But trusting and or relying on God's Spirit to give us what we need isn't an excuse for us to not make any preparations ourselves, is it? He said we were to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. We are to make preparations. Trusting in God's Spirit absolutely is what we have to do. I do it a lot. We are called to do that. And he has never let me down. Never. We have a promise that Jesus will never leave us and never forsake us. His Spirit is with us. His Spirit will strengthen us. His Spirit will give us what we need. Just as he gave this young Chinese girl what she needed. Now, from human understanding, that made no sense what she said. But we understood it, didn't we? We understood that at that moment, she felt Jesus' presence. And she knew it was going to be okay. Not because her circumstances were looking up, but because Jesus was there. She felt his spirit within her, and she was encouraged in her spirit that no matter what happened, God's got this. It's going to be okay. The same applies to us today, doesn't it? To each one of us. But because we must rely on the Spirit and we can't do this by ourselves, does that mean that we're not supposed to do anything? That we're not supposed to make any preparations? 2 Timothy 2:15, the Apostle Paul says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to study to show ourselves approved. If she'd have got in that situation and she had never known what the word of God said, what would she have done? We are to study to show ourselves approved. We are to put God's word within us so that when we get to that place, we can pull God's word from within us. The Holy Spirit can remind us of those scriptures that we've studied and they can be applied to our life. It's back to what Anna Shore said. You don't know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you got. Then you know that he was all you ever needed. But we have to have his word within us in order for it to come out of us, don't we? There's something that we are to do too. We have to depend upon God. We have to depend upon Jesus Christ. There's no other way to the Father but through the Son. There's no way that any of us can be Christian without Christ. There's no way. I'm not saying there is. There is no way. We have to depend upon him. I said it a week or two ago. As we grow in Christ, we learn to depend more and more and more on him. But, church, we have to read his word. We have to study his word. We have to spend time with him in prayer. We have to do these things. There are things we are called to do as his people, as his body on this planet. We are called to do these things. We're not going to be able to stand for the truth if we don't have the truth within us. We're not going to be able to stand against the lie if we don't know what the truth is. If you don't know the truth, then you're going to believe the lie too. It's not my version of the truth. It's not your version of the truth. It's the truth because it's God's. He's the only one that knows the truth. He's the only one that can apply it to our life. But we're called to study his word. We're called to be prepared. We're called to prepare ourselves. When Jesus tells us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, he's telling us to be prepared, to be ready, both to stand for the truth and to stand against the lie. But it's important that we ascertain when our source of wisdom comes. It's important that we ascertain where it's coming from, because God's ways aren't our ways. I don't know if we all do this. I know I do it. I know I've done it since I've come to Christ. You know how I know if it's the Holy Spirit telling me to do something, if it's telling me that God wants me to do it? It's because I don't want to, most of the time. It's because it's not an idea that I would have come up with, most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. I know that God is calling me to it. Most of the time. I'm standing here today as proof of that. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want a pastor. I didn't want to preach first. I didn't want a pastor. I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to come to Chaffee. I'm just being honest. But the Holy Spirit led me to. Led me to. You know what else always happens? You know what they say about, you know, hindsight being 20/20? It couldn't have worked any more perfectly. That's also proof in my heart that the Holy Spirit led me to something. Much like that young lady's experience in prison. She was about to have church, wasn't she? She was blessed beyond her circumstances. She was strengthened beyond her circumstances. Did you read there at the end that she spent six more years in prison? They kept her locked up for 6 years. Did you read what she was doing? Making Christmas lights for us so we can make our houses beautiful. To glorify Jesus, right? Ironic, isn't it? making Christmas lights to send to America. But she was blessed. She was blessed because of it. God's ways aren't our ways. God's ways are past my finding out, except for Him showing them to me. And I'll be honest, I can't take any credit for any of this because I didn't want to do it. But in it, He has blessed me so. I can't even describe it. But when Jesus tells us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, He's telling us to be ready, to be prepared. It's important that we do ascertain where that wisdom is coming from. Because as I said, God's ways are not mine. And as I'm so prone to do, as we heard in testimony this morning, as we're all so prone to do, when something happens, we start trying to fix it. But we know very plainly, because He tells us in this moral compass that He's given us, that we're not called to lean on our own understanding. We're not necessarily called to try to fix it. Sometimes we're called to just stand still and let Him work. You know what that requires? Faith. Faith. Just as much faith as it does to step out. Maybe more. Maybe more. Because we have a human nature to step and to try to do something. But sometimes He calls us just to wait. But it's important that we ascertain that. Because God's ways aren't ours, and leaning on our understanding won't reveal His glory. It won't. Pastor Warmbrand, if it would, Pastor Warmbrand wouldn't have undergone that, gone that torture for those 14 years. If leaning on our own understanding would work and reveal God's glory, Alex wouldn't have desired to witness so that he could reach out to his attacker. Because we all know from a human viewpoint what we'd like to have done to that attacker, don't we? What we'd like to have done to that gentleman that just put that cigarette out on that young lady's hand that caused her all that pain. That young girl that led that communist guard to Christ, she wouldn't have loved him through that beating. Sarah, the young lady here, wouldn't have sacrificed herself to protect her friends if our ways were God's ways, and if leaning on our own understanding would reveal His glory. If these people would have leaned on their own understanding or looked to the way which seems right to a man, we would not have been talking about them this morning. We wouldn't even know of them. We know of them because Christ's glory was revealed in their lives. Because they looked to Him. It's what we're called to do too. You and I are called to stand for the truth and to stand against the lie. We are. But we're not called to do so in our own strength or according to our own understanding. Because remember, God's ways aren't our ways. Gay rights are wrong. But God loves the homosexual. He calls us to love them too. Disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Matthew 10:24. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Homosexuality is a sin. It is. Abortion is a sin. Transgender bathrooms is a sin. But we are all sinners. There's not a person on the planet, ever was, ever will be, that could make it into heaven on their own glory. The only way to the Father is through the Son for every one of us. Those of us that know Christ are called to stand against sin, but we must stand as our Savior has called us to, And we must rely upon Him to stand. Upon Him to know what we should say. Because we know what we would say. And what we would say would not reveal His glory most of the time. But if we stand in love, as He's directed us, His glory will be revealed. Christian persecution is coming to the United States of America. I believe it with all of my heart. It's coming. It's already come. It's already deeply rooted into our society. Look at 25, verse 25 for just a moment, because I want to touch on something I'm going to speak more about in the next couple of weeks, if the Lord allows me to. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? You know, I never thought much about it, but recently I've thought more and more about it. I'm concerned that some Christians believe we're somehow going to be heroes. And acknowledged as so. And you know, as we're seeing right now, when our numbers are still substantial, there's some cause for celebration. As we're doing for those who have stood up for the truth down in Houston. Most of the Christian websites, they're celebrating what they've done. But it's not always going to be like that. That young lady was a criminal. Pastor Warmbrand was a criminal. Persecution might well mean that we're going to become criminals. At least that's how our state or our nation's going to look at us. As the struggle gets harder, and no doubt it's going to, our numbers dwindle, and no doubt they probably will. Because that's when rubber meets the road, isn't it? That's when faith is going to become more than a word that we banner around. Faith is going to become something just like it has been for these people that we've been watching on these videos, something that we live by, or something that we let go of. But it will become more than a word. We will either have faith or we won't. People, no doubt, will turn away. As all that begins to happen, as the pressure begins to increase, we're going to become outcasts. Maybe from our own families. What did Jesus say? That father would turn against children and children against their parents. If you read Pastor Warmbrand's book, you'll see that's already happened. Back in the 60s in Russia, in Romania. We will become outcasts. We will be looked upon as narrow-minded, judgmental hypocrites. We will. If the Lord tarries, eventually we'll be looked upon as criminals. Well, please don't misunderstand me. Those who stand for Christ will receive a hero's welcome. A hero's reward. That's what the scripture says. That's why it's important that we read the scripture, that we study the scripture. Be looking for you on Wednesday night. We will receive a hero's reward, but probably not this side of heaven. Okay. As I said, Lord willing, we'll talk about that more in the next couple of weeks as we close out this series. But this week I want us to see that no matter how bad it gets, and it probably will, it's still going to be okay. I couldn't hardly help but crying this morning as Becky was sharing that testimony with us. It's going to be okay. And she's exactly right. And the devotion that she read is exactly right. We look at the future with uncertainty because we don't know. We don't know what 1 o'clock is going to bring. We don't know what 12 o'clock is going to bring. But we can know who holds 12 o'clock, who holds 1 o'clock, who holds tomorrow and next year, and whatever comes our way. And the devotion is exactly right. That's how we are called to look at the future. Because in truth, as my title says, God's got this. He's got it. It's not a surprise to him. What went on down in Houston isn't a surprise. What's going on in Africa and what's coming over here to us isn't a surprise. If you read his word, you'll see he's telling us that these things are coming. They're coming. They're already here. But it's okay. He's got it. Because he's God. Everything is going exactly the way he said it would. Keith has taught us that since we started in Genesis. Sometimes it's almost as though God were showing off when he says something 4,000 years ago and then makes it happen exactly the way he said, down to the most minute detail. He's not showing off. He's just letting us know who he is. He is who he said. He is God. He is the only one who is. That means he knew who would be mayor of Houston. He even knows who's going to hold the Oval Office of our country. Let's look at Matthew 10, 26 and 28, and we'll start to prepare to close. He says, "Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We don't hear much about the fear of the Lord anymore, do we? Heard a great deal about it back in the past, not so much anymore. One thing I would tell you, he hadn't changed. He's not going to change. That's because of who he is. God has not lost any of his awesomeness. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. One day, Brother Keith, he is going to split that eastern sky. Just like a tremendous bolt of lightning. And no one's going to have any difficulty comprehending the fear of the Lord. No one. And I believe in all my heart, no one's going to look up and say, "I wonder what that is." Everyone's going to know. The creation is going to know and recognize the Creator. And everybody will better understand the fear of the Lord. The truth is, it's getting tough. It's probably going to get a lot tougher. But for those of us who wait and look for His coming, it cannot get tough enough to overcome our joy and the reward of spending eternity forever in His presence. So let's be about our Father's business. Let's live our lives accordingly to His business. Let's stand for the truth. Let's be the vessel of His love for this lost and dying world. Let's be willing to surrender and set ourselves aside and even give of ourselves. Even give ourselves away to stand against the lies, in order and in hopes that the same dying world might be able to see the reality of who He is. Because His return is imminent, and so many, each and every one of us know many of them, so many are not prepared. Let's see if we can't get them to see the reality of God so loving the world that He sent His only begotten Son before He returns. Not as their Savior, our Savior, but not for those that don't know him. He'll return as their judge. Let's be about his business. See if his glory cannot be revealed to them. Let's look at Matthew 10, 32 and 34, and I'll close. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father, who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father, who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I've quoted it many times in the last few weeks. I'll probably quote it a few more. I've even quoted it once today. But Galatians 2:20 is the only way that we as Christians can face and overcome an uncertain and even a certain tomorrow. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If we'll live our lives in that fashion, we don't have to worry about a thing. And we don't have to worry about a thing because God's got this. It might not go according to my plan or to your plan, but it will go according to his. And you or I won't change it because he is who he says he is. He is God. His son is the only savior, the only hope that this planet has. There is no hope but except for Jesus Christ, for any of us. Let's live our lives according to that. Let's indeed be crucified with Christ. Let's let the life that we live today be through him. We have a song of invitation. God's Spirit has spoke to you this morning, then we invite you to come with whatever need that you might have. All stand, please.